for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and you're back with me, Tim Fuel, bringing you yet another hour or so of non-league knowledge and know-how. Well, that's what I claim, anyway. Joining me again this week, my co-host back from his latest jaunt up north, manager at FA Vars semi-finalist Chertsey Town, Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
So 1-1 after that first leg up at Northwich Victoria. Weather played a little bit of havoc, I believe, and big game on Saturday now.
Listen, I think I had a couple of drinks with Steve. I did take him a bottle of blue WKD for his 1,000th game, and he'll vouch for that. I thought it was a wind-up from Ian, but we were treated really well, their hospitality, and such a big occasion. On such a big occasion, you know, I feel I'm an experienced guy. I'm very aware of how people are, and I'm also aware that they might be a little bit short with you because of the occasion and what's at stake. But we were treated really well, myself, the players, the supporters. You know, had a cup of tea with Steve before the game, had a chat about just different things, manager stuff. With a beer at the bar after, you know, and I'll look forward to trying to find some WKD in London to give him a beer. And whatever happens, you know, the bottom line is whatever happens, that's more important, that stuff. But the game itself, I think, was hindered by the conditions. You know, I think both sides struggled to deal. It was quite a strong wind down the pitch, and effectively we had it first half and looked more dangerous, and they had it second half and looked more dangerous. And I haven't seen the game back, but 1-1 I thought was a fair enough result of what happened on the day, and really the wind won, you know. So it's all to play for, and you know, people said, "Oh, well done, you know, it's half time." I said to you before, I don't read anything into the fact that we're at home Saturday and away last Sunday. It's a good football team run by good people. We're a good football team run by good people, and whoever wins it, there'll be good people going to Wembley, you know. I just hope, looking at the two teams, I hope that the game gets the conditions and then lives up to what it possibly could be, because they are nervous occasions, I wouldn't kid you that. But just watching them and knowing how my guys are, There is a real cracker in there, you know. Don't get me wrong, I'll settle for the worst game of football you've ever seen in a 1-0 win. I hold my hands up. There ain't a manager in the world wouldn't. But it has a real possibility, this game, of being a cracker, you know. And we're expecting a big crowd, as there was at Witton Albion.
And I'd imagine whatever the result, it'll be a good night anyway.
Well, I think you have to. I think, you know, don't get me wrong, I have to. Other people take it their own way. I'm sure whatever team loses, that there will be players that it will affect for a few days. I'm not saying I'll get over it in a heartbeat, but I will be having a few beers no matter what happens, and hopefully I'll be having a couple of beers with Steve no matter who's going to Wembley, you know. But it you know, and I'm not saying this to publicise it, we have enough people coming, but if you're in the area and you've nothing to do, I think it's got the makings of a real cracker.
Chertsey Town, Northwich Victoria, semi-final of the FA Vars on Saturday. So to our first guest this week, at this stage in the season, when you're top of the table with 7 games to play, they possibly don't come bigger than a home tie against your second-placed rivals. That's what faces Atherton Colliery's manager Michael Clegg this weekend as they entertain a Ratcliffe in the Northern Premier First Division East. And I'm pleased to say that he's taking time out of his preparations for the weekend to join us on the line. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Michael.
Good evening.
Well, it's a good evening at the moment. I guess you've got your stats head on, your planning head. A big game. Would you just like to have the kick-off now, or are you looking forward to Saturday and that build-up?
No, we're looking forward to it, you know. It's my fifth season here now, and we've kind of, barring last season, we did win a final, but we was out of it in the league. But it's been the norm at Coles, really, to have a few tense games in the running, and I think, obviously, all the time we commit to it away from our families and rushing around after work and stuff, I think you want to be involved in these games. So you've just got to grasp it while you can and give it everything you can. And and hope you leave nothing on the pitch on Saturday, really.
Yeah, and a win, and then you'll go 7 points clear of Radcliffe. But it's so tight up there. You've got Runcorn Linnets on equal points with Radcliffe, and then Ramsbottom, they're just a point behind them. And bizarrely, those two teams are playing each other this weekend too.
Yeah, it's just a massive weekend, isn't it? I mean, I think if we win on Saturday, it'll put us in a phenomenal position, a position we wouldn't have dreamed of at the start of the season. But what we've also got to remember, if we draw or lose the game, no matter what happens, we're still going to be top of the shop come Saturday night. And I think you have just got to take it a game at a time. We're going to have a big crowd on. Everyone will be excited, I'm sure. The lads will be nervous, and as will them. But at the end of the day, Radcliffe have talked all season about wanting to win the league. Everyone knows they've spent a bit of money this year, and they come in with the possibility of going 7 points behind if they lose the game. So I would rather be in our position than theirs. We've got players who are used to being in title running. So I'm just hoping we can put on a show, really, because we're a good football side. So what I won't be doing is being conservative and putting 11 men behind the ball. That's for sure. We're at our own patch, and we'll want to do a number on them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at you. You would put you 7 points clear, but effectively it'd be 8 points clear because your goal difference. So it's a game you have to, you have to try and go and win it. Because you're never going to admit to it, Michael, because I understand that, because I wouldn't in your position. But effectively, as a pundit, I'm saying win Saturday, you're effectively 8 points clear of the pack with probably 8 games to go, something like that, 6, 7, 8 games to go.
Yeah, it'd be 6 games to go, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to really nosedive not to win it from there.
Of course. I totally agree. You know, I'm never one to shout our mouths. I know we've got a good side. I know we'll be hard to stop if we win on Saturday. And I think that's the prize. It is a bit like a cup final, because I think obviously the chasing pack have got to play each other as well over the next couple of weeks. And so a couple are going to take points off each other there. So I think if you win Saturday, don't get me wrong, you're not home and dry. Anything can happen in football, but you've got to, if you looked at the bookies, you'd be massive odds on favourites, wouldn't you, to go and win it. And I think just gives you a nice cushion to probably play with a bit more freedom in the running rather than being all tense and looking over your shoulders constantly. And I think obviously we'll be in a great position if we've got 3 points come 5 o'clock on Saturday. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Yeah, and in your running, how many in the top sort of 10 have you got to play? Have you looked at that?
One.
So you've got Saturday and then one in the top 10 in your remaining games, yeah?
Yeah.
So I would say that's a reasonable position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, like you say, I think everyone would give anything be in our position, but a lot goes on Saturday and we keep going on about it's about having a bit of emotional control, and we've got the best discipline in the league this season, and we seem to stay calm in situations, and we're in really good form. Radcliffe are a good side. It's going to be tough, but they'll be as worried about coming to us as we are them coming to us. So it is. It's just I think the two teams are very equal, and on paper there's 22 fantastic footballers who will be putting on a show. I'm sure there'll be a big crowd on here, and I just really look forward to these games now. I don't get as nervous as I used to. I've just learned to control what we can control, and we'll be playing as we normally do.
Well, two things. The first one is I could do with having a chat with you, because I've always suffered from nerves in 30 years. The other thing I would say is it's not going to be a cagey game, because Radcliffe effectively have to beat you. If they beat you, it's game on a little bit. So if I was in the area as a neutral, it's the game I'd be going to, because both teams, if they've anything about them, will be trying to win it.
Yeah, definitely. I think anyone who's come watching Atherton Colliery's, and that's probably why our crowds have grown, you'll never see an Atherton Colliery's side put 11 men behind the ball and cling on. It's just not what we do, and sometimes that's been our Achilles heel. I think we've tried to curb it a bit more this year when we go set 2 or 3 up, and we try to manage games better, but we're the same. We've got pace, we've got intensity, we're top goal scorers in league, and you would imagine that we're going to get a goal or two on Saturday. So I would imagine that if Radcliffe come here on Saturday, they need to score 2 to 3 goals. So yeah. I think it could be a really, really good game.
And you've got a great track record since you took the manager's job. I think it was back in summer 2014. And two titles, promotions already, and it's your home club too. So what would it mean to wrap up that title and get another promotion?
Honestly, I can't even think about it. I'll tell you from the bottom of my heart, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. You know, I've got friends in the town, family come, and it's just become such a big part of my life. So obviously you work day to day to earn your money, but this is your relief and this is your passion. But from when I walked through the door 4.5 years ago to what could happen in 6 weeks' time, I honestly can't even come to think about it. I said in this to my dad the other night, I think if you got to that last Saturday in April and we won that league, I think I'd probably burst. You know what I mean? I don't even know what I'd do. We're in a position where you've so much emotion tied into it with what we put into it. You know, we don't just turn up and play football like probably all the other managers at our level. So much goes into it. So many people give the spur time and give it up for free. And we've got a very moderate budget at Coles. Everyone knows that. We've been likening this to our lads as this is like Leicester City. Let's not try and put it any other way. We weren't in anyone's ears to go and win this league this year. This is a massive, massive upset that we are where we are with some of the money what some teams spend in our league. So I think it'd be up there with probably the best achievement at Evo State level by any side, and I really do mean that. And I'm just really proud to be the man who can try and do that and push this town forward, because there's a lot of good people here and there's a lot of lads who've stayed loyal who get offered big money to leave every week and they stay loyal to me, they stay loyal to the club. So there's so much emotion behind it that we have to try and control that and just do the job till the end of the season, and then there'll definitely be a few players on the missing persons list if come first, second of May if we win the league. There's no doubt about that.
And what about, how would Leicester City do in the Northern Premier then? So if you take that squad into the next level, have you thought about what you'd need to add to it? Have you thought about,
you know, I think the thing is with Atherton Coles, we still need to shake off the Atherton Coles tag, because it's without being disrespectful to the club, people look at our club and it's still like, oh, Coles, they get 40 watching. We'll probably have 600 on here on Saturday.
Wow.
But the thing is, we need to change probably the mindset of the club rather than the players. The players are a bunch of winners. You know, at Coles, we could still probably lose 10 on bounce, and our fans just love all lads because of where they are and where they've got them. So I think now it's about just reassessing everything. What do we need? We've got a young squad anyway who are growing. We've got a lot of lads in there, like a lad at 23-year-old at 250 games for us on Tuesday. Wow. He's played 250 out of 264 he's been available for. It must be some kind of record.
Yeah.
And then we've got lads hitting 150s, 170s. So I think ability-wise, we don't fear anyone in our cup run last year when we won the Evo Stick Cup. We beat Colville in the final. We beat Ednesford comfortably in the semi-final. But Colville were very comfortable in the final. So we've played a few of them pre-season and we always hold our own. So don't get me wrong, where I don't think we'd probably be pushing the top of the table, I couldn't see it with this current squad that we'd also be in a struggle, because we're a damn good football side. And I think more and more people are seeing that now. And we haven't got like household names at this level. We've gone and got people from lower and brought them up, and I just think they're just willing to give you that little bit more, willing to listen and get the Coles DNA in them, which is you turn up for training, you get on the nights out, you give everything you've got, and you go home and you become a part of it. And it's a bit more personality over performance at Coles. You've got to be a right type of character to be in and amongst it, because it's a very special changing rooms and you do get dug out pretty quickly if you don't buy in. The lads demand a lot from each other, so it's a good environment, but we've worked hard to get it like that.
And obviously we often talk about ground grading issues at this time of year, when particularly when a club's had like back-to-back promotion but close promotions together. Is the club ready on the infrastructure side of things to go up to the next level as well?
Well, yeah, I think they come down a few weeks back, and I think there's got to be a couple of little alterations here and there, but they're within our capabilities. But I'm actually just sat on the car park now at the club waiting to go into our first ever sponsors evening. So we've invited every local business to the club tonight, put on a couple of free beers and some free food for them, and we've put a little video together of question and answer with myself and the chairman, and really let the town know what actually goes on behind the scenes and see if anyone wants to buy in, because I think the club will be the first to tell you they're a very proud bunch. They don't go and try and get money from anywhere. Our bonfire is our main source of income for the year, believe it or not. It just gets packed. We get like a couple of thousand on. We play Bolton Wanderers in a friendly every summer. We get a couple of thousand on. And other than that, we run probably week to week. We've never had someone pumping money in. So tonight's about what can the local community do for us? Have we got a joiner in there? Have we got an electrician? Have we got someone who wants to put that little bit of money in towards lads' expenses? We don't know. We've never really got out there, but we're doing that tonight. And I think there's 50 businesses coming down, actually. So we're hoping now that people start realising we're getting to a level that is serious. Potentially, if you do go up, you could potentially be facing a Scarborough, South Shields, FC United, your Hyde Uniteds of the world next season and stuff. And so things are getting more serious, aren't they? But it's something that we all work hard for. So it's so important that we get over the line now. And then things will probably fall into place from there.
Well, sometimes when you work hard, you get good rewards and just rewards, and it sounds like they're heading your way, Michael. It's been great talking to you and getting the insight and finding out about that club that's run the old school way by the sounds of things, but moving in the right direction.
No other option, to be honest. Yeah. And obviously, I'd like to say good luck to the Chertsey boys at weekend. But
appreciate it.
My best friend's captain of Norwich Victoria.
Is he?
Bradford's godparent to my kids. He was an usher at my wedding.
Really?
And then I've got, obviously, Rob Sadler, the goalkeeper coach, we've been all through school together. And
wow.
Five of the old Coles lads are in the squad, actually.
You couldn't re-sign them, no?
Yeah, I know. So I'd love to wish you the best of luck, but I'm sure Brad wouldn't speak to me
I get it.
But may the best team win. And obviously, if you are the team to go through, I hope you have a fantastic time at Wembley.
Thanks.
And you've done absolutely amazing to get there.
Yeah, nice people, actually. I get on well with Steve, the manager, with a couple of drinks and that. And listen, the game was... It wasn't a great game because of the conditions, but it was an honest game. And I'm sure... Listen, it's a close call. I don't need to tell you that. Two good sides.
Brad said to me that you dominated the first because of the wind. And
yeah, they did the same second. Yeah,
he said the wind were really, really bad. I couldn't get there. We didn't have a game last weekend, so booked a little break for me, the missus and kids. So I couldn't get there, but I'd have loved to have been there and seen you go toe-to-toe.
I think in all honesty, the wind won. That's what I'd say, you know. But
to be honest, a lot of my friends went and they said, you know, seeing it's two teams who are renowned for playing good football, the weather just absolutely killed it.
But the forecast is much better this weekend. And I don't want to talk about our game because we're talking about you, but the forecast is much better this weekend. So we'll see. But I understand you're not wishing me well, but I wish you well in the league, okay?
No, I do wish you well, but I just wish Brad a bit better.
That's fine.
But no, I know we had heartbreak in the bars a couple of years back, got to the last 16, we were 2-0 up, and we threw it away against Cleethorpes, who got to Wembley, and we battered them on the day, and it was absolute heartbreak. It took me months to get over that. But no, it's a fantastic competition.
It is.
Like I said, may the best team win. I've got loyalties on their side, and I am wishing you all the best.
Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you once again, Michael. Best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
And speak to you soon. Take care.
You will do. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
An old school work club, by the sounds of things, and it's you know, it's a name that's always been there or thereabouts. We've known about it, and now they're flying up, and it's good to know that you know, personalities and just old school camaraderie and not just budgets win.
Yeah, but we've sort of been watched them grow, haven't we, through the years of the show, and we've had them on before, and they're in a great position now. You know that, and Listen, I get the old school. You know me, I'm old school, you know, but I think if you get the right group of players in to buy into it. And I just wrote down here, personality over performance. I actually wrote it down. It's a really good little saying, and I get it. It explains a lot. And I think for them to go on and win it, they're in a great position now, but it's like anything, it's never easy to get over the line in any sort of competition that you're trying to win, leagues, cups, or whatever it may be. But if they are the Leicester, then people will notice for the next sort of, as he said, they've got the last 7-8 games. And I wish them well, because that's when the nerves kick in, and everybody wants to beat you because you're top of the league. But you'd be a fool to back against them, and I wish them well.
Looks like they've done their job already. Okay, so if you offer almost any manager at the start of the season the chance to be 1 point clear at the top with 7 games to play, I'm sure most would snap your hand off, as I'm sure any CEO would too. Perhaps our next guest, the CEO at Farsley Celtic, who find themselves atop of the Northern Premier League with the end of the season in sight, would do the same. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Joshua Greave, CEO at Farsley Celtic.
Good evening, how are you doing?
I'm good. Now, CEO, it's a big title, but I think you tend to do everything, don't you?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in non-league clubs, we're not privileged enough to be full-time. So, yeah, it's a bit of everything, really.
And would you have snapped my hand off at the start of the season to be in the position you are now?
I'd have snapped your hand off without a doubt. I think, obviously, with what's happened with the demise of North Ferriby, has taken the cushion away a little bit. We had, a week or so ago with 4 points clear, but at the end of the day, a point at the top of the table, yeah, you'd take that. You know, we sat quite comfortably in the middle of the playoffs for quite a while, and then obviously we've rose up there, and it's not a bad place to be, but it's just that the only situation behind that is you're there to be shot at the top of the league. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mentioned the North Ferriby situation. Obviously, that they've gone into administration, folded, which then means that all their results have been expunged.
Wow.
And it's late on in the season, but you know, thankfully not as late as this has happened in the past. But it has affected the table somewhat, hasn't it?
Yeah, quite dramatically. I mean, it's a hard one, because you don't want to see any football club to go, and the amount they were taken for wasn't, you know, arguably a large sum of money. They've been in difficulties. They've been trying to change a lot of the club over the last year with the new owners and things. But unfortunately, it's happened. And I don't think there's any good time for a club to particularly go. You know, you look at the start of the season when Shaw Lane went out of existence before the season even started. That's something that, you know, we can deal with when Hensford was transferred over to our division. But, you know, you look at that from a Cubs point of view, it's simply, you know, Shaw Lane went, which meant Hensford were moved over. Shaw Lane were our closest club to us. We lost our Boxing Day fixture, New Year's Day fixture, sorry. Mm. So we had to travel 2.5 hours down to Hensford on New Year's Day. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that I don't think it's great at any point for a club to run. It's not good to see at all, you know, especially I've been through that at Farsley over the, you know, 10 and a half years ago when we went into administration. It's not a nice feeling. It's really, really not. And it's not a nice thing to have to deal with as a club. But the key thing behind this is hopefully they can get new people behind them and come alive again for next season, start a bit further down the pyramid and make their way back up again to the successful club they once were.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about, you know, your own club effectively dying, starting again, and that was, well, nearly a decade ago, but you're now flying and coming back up. But we end up reporting, you know, several times a season about this happening to clubs, and you know, you've learnt a lot, I'm sure, as a club and how that's not going to happen again. But it's almost like the wider world of football needs to learn these things as well. You know, like if it was a problem, you'd have a counselling session, wouldn't you? And it almost non-league needs to help one another and sort of like, yeah, be more open. There is a lot of, we haven't got any problems, everybody's all right. And then suddenly, you know, the small hole that was leaking in water, it just bursts open, and then there's not a lot we can do.
I think that's, you're right with it. And I think the simple, you know, thing behind this is unfortunately, you know, it's different with our level. We have shut all the gates. We've got to find other revenue streams to ensure there's money within the club. Some clubs at non-league are lucky to have a financial backer. Some clubs work very hard for the money they've got. Some other clubs sit in a position where they feel comfortable that they can afford to sit there. And I think sometimes when, you know, directors, chairman and chief executives and the board sit down at the start of the season, you've got to be very realistic in your outlook of where you're going and what you're looking at. And I think sometimes some clubs overstretch themselves. And sometimes it's not necessarily the club's fault, you know. You plan for budgets, you plan things, and then ultimately they don't come off. And you're in a situation where you've got a gap of X amount of £1,000 to find to get you through the end of the season. And, you know, it's hard. It's very, very hard. I think that's the problem behind it. And it's a lot more financial problem. And I think we also forget that normally run by volunteers and people who put a lot of time and effort into getting clubs going and moving. And that's the other problem with non-league football across it all is people are struggling for time to get stuff done right. And that's a simple problem.
I was just going to say that Joshua, that two things. The first one is, as a manager, to lose 3 points like that's happened, that is hard to take, you know. And then,
yes,
listen, we all feel for the club that's had the fall. Of course we do. But in fact, I've wrote down here, you know, being a Glasgow Rangers fan, it's the first time I've had any sympathy for a team called Celtic in my life. But I do think that it's, you know, it's harsh. I don't know what the answer is. I just feel for you. I feel, as a manager, so hard to get the amount of points to get over the line. The second thing I've wrote down here is playoffs, you know, the possibility of playoffs for the second year. I think you've done magnificent not to have the hangover, which a lot of people suffer from. But surely there must be alarm bells at the thought of playoffs again.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worrying thing is, you know, we feel like, you know, as you can imagine, our manager's not too impressed, and the reason he particularly can't be around tonight is because his wife's just given birth to his second child.
Oh, congratulations!
So unfortunately, you're stuck with me, guys. But you're right. You look at the table. You know, we've lost the 6 points. You know, we've lost 10 goals as well. You know, on our plus goals on there. We've taken quite a lot, you know, and what's hard to take as a club, and I think it's for anybody, if you look at the top end of the table, you know, you've got South Shields who lost one match and won a match against North Derby, which meant them guys have only actually lost 3 points and not that many goals. And you know, and you look at Warrington as well, who at the end of the day have lost 6 points as well, and lost a number of goals. You know, Warrington were second, sort of chasing our tails behind us, and now they're all of a sudden in third. And you talk about the playoffs, it's even harder this year with the super playoff structure that's in place.
Yeah, yeah.
The playoffs for any club's a daunting task. You know, we were lucky, you know, last year, we just got into the playoffs by the fact of showing, getting deducted points for playing an eligible player by a point. We got in the playoffs. Were we particularly ready to get in the playoffs? Arguably, probably not. But when you're there, you've got to plan and go forward for it. And I think it's the mentality of your manager. I think the manager's a key behind a lot of the way you look at things and sets a very big tone in your club. And we're quite lucky to have Adam Maitland, who's quite a positive guy. He looks at things pragmatically. And he's got the right way, you know. And funnily enough, I was having this conversation with him last night. They were trading last night, and we were on about how, where does it feel if we ended in the playoffs? And I'll be honest with you, and he says, I'd be absolutely heartbroken. Mm. With the way we've gone this year and the way we've come up and we're playing our football, it's a daunting task, you're right, and to look at where you're coming from and where you've been to all of a sudden now we're a point. All it takes us is to lose one match.
Yeah.
And either of the top, you know, the other two, South Shields or Warrington, to win and to take over that position. You know, there's not that many games left. We've got one midweek match and the rest of my Saturdays and we're done. But, you know, but then again, you look at the running we've got. Arguably, we've got an easier running than most. We're playing most sort of bottom half of the table other than Buxton. Who were a waiter, but they've got a brand new 3G pitch.
Yeah.
We play, we play good football on a 3G pitch, as we saw 2 years ago when we went to Tamworth in the FA Trophy in the replay and beat them, I think it was 5-0. So we play well on that. We've just got to keep looking at the games. And at the end of the day, my argument and the big thing we have at the club is we don't look at what anyone else is doing. As long as we're achieving what we need to achieve going forward, then we're happy with that.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the manager, Adam Lakeland. He's got a great pedigree as a coach. Curzon Ashton, I remember, Norwich Victoria. Dave's well aware of it. But he's been with you as well. He's got his own coaching business. And it sounds like you know, Dave often talks about the relationship between chairman and manager, but you do secretarial duties and obviously you're at the club, but probably more than anybody else as well. It sounds like you've got a great relationship with him as well.
Yeah, I think it's key. You know, when I took over as chief executive 5 years ago, and you know, the first time we've ever had one in the club, so it was a bit of a how do we find the roles, responsibilities of a chief executive in our club. And it really came to its own when Adam came on board 2 seasons ago, because the management prior to that were a little bit older. They'd been at the club a lot of years and always dealt with the chairman. Where Adam came on board and with him being a little bit younger, we've got a very good rapport together. You know, I'm the guy who can ring up and vent about anything he needs to vent about and talk about. And that's how relationships need to be, you know. He knows when, you know, the one thing we do as a club as well is I'm not the football expert in it. I'm not the manager. But clubs appoint, this is one thing I have a big thing about is clubs appoint a manager. You appoint a manager because you believe he is a specialist in what he does to manage your team. So you've got to allow that person to manage that team.
I think Dave's going to buy you a big present.
No, you just made me jump up in my seat, because funny enough, we had Paul Hughes, the Hayes & Yerrin manager. We're recording this at Hayes & Yerrin, and he just came in and I was having a chat with him, me and Tim, before we recorded. And we were talking about the relationship and about different chairmen and how they are. And it's the one thing we both said is exactly what you have said, is it'd be great if you the best chairman in the world are the ones who know where the line is, who are entitled to say to you what they think about your team, but as long as you're within budget, it's your decision to deal with.
I'm 100% behind that. You know, Adam, every home match, Adam will come into my office and we'll have a quick 10-minute chat while he's eating his after-match food, and then he goes back and sits with the players and the rest of the club and does that. I give my opinion. I'm not the expert, and I think as, you know, yes, chairman and chief exec and directors are entitled to their, you know, into their views on the game.
Yeah, they work hard, and you know, I think that's a point that I want to make as well, is that as a football manager, you understand how hard these people work, and they're entitled to their one-to-one with you, and they're entitled to tell you what they thought, and sometimes it's good to hear what they think. But there's a line in the sand, and as long as you both know that, then it's more successful.
100% agree. I think there's only been, you know, a couple of times where, you know, Adam's come back asking for a little bit more in his budget and over the last couple of years. And if you can have them conversations and have the frank and honest ones with him saying, yeah, you can do, but you've got to do this, to bring yourself back in budget. And he goes away and rings up and goes, actually, I better think about it. I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Then that's the way you should relationship be.
Absolutely.
But you know, we're obviously starting. We're coming to the end of the season. We're in a bit of a position. We don't really know where we're going to be. Hopefully, we get the promotion. And the conversations I'm currently having at the minute with our chairman and the rest of the board and Adam is what do we want now? Where do we want to go? You know, the conversation we'll have at the end of the season is not he were rubbish, he were good, he were this. It was, right, Adam, give us your opinion on these players. Who do you want? Who do you not want? And have you got your eye on anyone? And then we can have a frank, honest conversation. You know, he's got a management team behind him. And at our club, we've got a management team behind him that one's an ex-player in Mark Bett, his assistant manager. You've got our physiotherapist, Gareth Liversidge, who's been with the club over 10 years. You've got Gary Stokes, who's our goalkeeper coach, who's got about 30 years experience in goalkeeping coaching. And they've got the experience in doing their job, not me. I can quite easily run a football club and I enjoy it and I do, I'd like to do a good job, but they do a job and you appoint them for that exact reason, to run your team. It's any business in my world. You employ someone to do a job, let them do the bloody job.
Hear, hear.
And you say you're not sure. You are doing a fantastic job, but you know the first team's doing well, but off the field as well, you know, considering that you reformed, you know, not so long ago, you've got a thriving youth setup with both boys and girls, and you can see that the community's really getting behind you as well with the crowds and everything like that. Everybody's buying into what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we went into the administration. We went through a bit of a troubled time 4 years ago. We restructured the club. It was a decision that particularly wasn't very favourable by a bunch of people, but we restructured, brought everything back into the club. And the current structure we've got, you know, we've got 22 teams. We've got the only deaf team in Yorkshire playing out of us, Fans Celtic mm-hmm. Deaf, who play in the top flight of deaf football. You know, so you know, and that was about us. They were struggling. They were a team that was struggling. They were nearly going to go bust. It was Leeds City Deaf. And I had a conversation with their chairman at the time and said, come to us and we'll support you. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, they became Fans Celtic Deaf. And off we go. You know, we've got the women's team there. So you're right. You know, we've got boys and girls throughout. But it's about engaging with the community and getting people in. You're absolutely right. And I think any club at our level who thinks it's not about being out there and being seen, they're losing track a little bit of what they're doing.
Well, we're losing track of what we're doing. I suppose I better let you go and go and run a football club. But I will mention though today, to Dave Anderson that obviously it's the Celtic derby this weekend, isn't it? You guys are against Stalybridge Celtic. So if Dave didn't have a very big game that he needs to be at, I'm sure he'd be there.
If only you were called Rangers.
We play Stafford Rangers on Tuesday the 9th of April, so it's an English old friend.
Brilliant.
So that would be a good one.
Brilliant.
Well, Joshua, it's been fantastic talking to you. We wish you well both on and off the field.
Thank
we'll stay in touch and speak to you again soon.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Yeah,
take care.
Good
Thank
luck.
You.
Always good to get an opinion from someone that's running the club on a day-to-day basis. He's there. He's doing it, everything. It's just a different viewpoint.
And I get, you know, and I'm trying to be clever, but I get sometimes a better feel of how the relationship is within the dressing room and the boardroom by talking to the chairman more than the managers. The managers are clever. They've been around. They've been interviewed a million times, and they don't. I know that because I'm exactly the same. You answer what you want to answer. Sometimes you get people like Marcus or Joshua on. You there's more honesty to it, you know, and you can tell by what he said, how he said it, that the relationship is fine and it will blossom. It is blossoming, and for all those people who want to know what it's about, then they should listen to what he's saying and where the lines are. And if you speak to any managers, we did before the show with Paul, you know that it never changes. You know, managers only want one thing, and that's a line in the sand where they can do their work without being inhabited by people from the boardroom.
And also, for anybody that wants a job in football, it proves you get involved in non-league, and there you go.
Absolutely,
he works in football.
Yeah,
and how happy did he sound?
Living the dream. Indeed. Living the dream, yeah.
So if 1 point ahead with seven to play would have been enough to tempt many at the start of the season, what about our next guest, who's 11 points clear at the top and only six to play? That's the position in the new Southern League Premier Central. And I'm pleased to say manager at Leaders Kettering Town, an old friend of the show, Marcus Law, joins us on the line to tell us how it feels to be there. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Marcus.
How are you all doing? You're good?
Yeah, good.
We're good. And you're very good.
We've still got a bit of work to do.
Caution. I like it. So let's start with the weekend. You got an away trip to Leiston at the weekend, and obviously you're in this new Premier Central division. How's the travelling been? Has it been easier being in this new look division for you guys?
The travelling's been a lot easier. It's been odd in terms of the lack of midweek game. Which kind of had the sort of the higher, you know, sort of the conference feel, really, because you, you, you did a lot of mainly your games were Saturday to Saturday, and I think there was probably only one Tuesday of the month, if not two, you'd play midweek. So that's been a strange feel. But from the last year when we were in the Southern Division and we were playing Gosport away on a Tuesday night or Tiverton on a Tuesday night and getting home at 6 o'clock, I'll certainly take this year's format for a long shot.
And I said that you're, 11 points clear at the top, only six to play, but and then you were cautious. And we should let people in on that, because you've got Leeson at the weekend, but then your remaining games, you're playing everybody up at the top there that are still battling for the playoffs. So you've got, is it Alva Church, Howes Owen, Barwell, Rushton and Diamonds and Stratford Town. These are clubs that all want to win the game.
Yeah, we're involved in games where everyone is in a position where they need to win, depending where they are in the league table. We just want to get our job done as soon as possible and let them have the stress. They've obviously got their own agendas, but I think Dave will back me up on this. It's like a running theme in football. You never want the opposition to be winning the league or picking a trophy up at your ground, or you be the... it's never a nice feeling watching someone else get the glory. So we know every team will have that extra yard, that extra bit of aggression and want, not only for their own course, but they don't want to be the ones, shall we say, handing the trophy over to us. But we've got to win half our games. Football's football, so we take one game at a time. I'll try and get as many in as I can.
I've got a little scratch card going there.
Listen, there's lots of reasons why people are up for it. Well, if you're up there, you're up there to be shot at, and if you're not top of the league and you're playing the team top, as a manager, you can nearly stick your head in and go, "Good luck, lads. I'll see you later." So there's that part too. But I've wrote down here, I'm saying it's better. I always felt it was better to be playing people who have something to play for. So the people who are up and around you, Marcus, I would rather have them games than the people in the mid-table who are totally relaxed and who could turn you over in a heartbeat. Or do you understand what I mean? So you're playing for something, but everyone around you...
They're a snake in the grass.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they're an animal you don't really want to deal with, because they are good players throughout the levels, and then on any given day, any team can beat anyone. And if there's freedom in their play, then all of a sudden they could be doing things that... how many teams you've seen who've come from like the top of the bottom half and they end up being about 8 points off the playoffs and they go, "Oh, if only we had done that, or this will be all good for us next year." But the bit they're missing is the fact that you've got to play under pressure. We've been very good with that. We've always bounced back from a loss, which has been a good form. Our away form is very good. And that's probably because we've got some very, very good players for our level, very professional. And the pressure moments we've dealt with very comfortably.
I make you absolutely right in what you're saying. It's how I'd feel. But the other side of the coin, which sometimes is out of your hands, is how's the fitness of the squad on that, Marcus?
We've had it not easy. We had one of our top golf scorers out for the first 8 weeks. In fact, I lost. Last year, I think we scored about 145 goals, and the three lads who contributed to just over 100 of that, I lost them all in the summer, one being injured for 2 months and the other two moving on to other clubs. So I started off the season scratching my head. But some lads, a lad, Reece Honus, has come to the fore. We moved him further afield, like up front, which worked. And then when Aaron O'Connor come back, he's a great, just experience, know-how, and goal scoring is what he does. So bringing him back into Ray helped. And we just seem to be able to like pick up certain players at good times, as and when we were picking up the suspensions and injuries. And it's the perfect storm. We often look at Leicester, don't we? The year they win it, the 11 week in week out. The centre half's never picking up five bookings till March, which unheard of. It's looked after. It hasn't been too I think the last time we played Leeston was probably the worst time we had. I think I had about six players out that day. So we want to go there on Saturday. We feel we owe them one.
Yeah, and it's a frustrating side of it when you lose five or six players because it's out of your hands. I mean, but you know, let's go on the imaginary trip now, because it's the only way I'm going to get an answer out of you. We're talking hypothetically, and you do get your promotion. North or south, what would suit you better?
I ain't got no choice. Unless no. The southern teams in the conference start suddenly turning their season round. If I had a choice, you look at the... I mean, I looked at the Conference North last year when they did the allocations. And I was thinking back to my days at Tamworth in the conference, and half the division was there, if not more. and then I'm thinking, well, actually, you go a couple of years before that, they were all Football League.
That's right.
That league, as much as it's exciting, it looks relentless, ruthless. That could be a tough ride. I mean, I live quite local to Nuneaton, so I see what's going on there. That looks a tough place to be. Are we capable of that? I would say a large core of my squad could pitch themselves north or south.
Yeah.
Club is still in its infancy, growing, going forward from the dark days.
Yeah.
The current chairman and owner have done a fantastic job. Unwillingly from me, they've always stayed within their reins. Small steps. The ground from when I first got there 4 years ago is advancing. It still has a bit of work to do. I think they were looking this morning at looking at bringing new stands in. And also, they've now secured the land. Well, it's with solicitors between the club and the council. So, you know, in probably 5 years, 6 years' time, the Kettering faithful will have their club back in their town.
Yeah, that's area of land actually within Kettering rather than where you're planning at Latimer Park. But is that correct, that the idea is still, hence why there's still plans to develop as you are at Latimer Park, to keep hold of Latimer Park to become a training base for you?
Yeah, very much so. That's all part of the idea, the foresight of Richard June. They've got a academy running, as most clubs do, with their college. The long-term plan will be for that to be the training facility, as well as all the facilities that have to come along with terms of the college, and hopefully one day the club be in full time.
And you've been around. You've had class, but you are Kettering, aren't you?
Dave,
I mean,
that's what you mean.
Well, Dave's been around like a stray cat.
Listen, Div is round. That's a problem, Marcus.
but you are Kettering, aren't you? It means a lot to you being at the club.
They've grown on me. Obviously, giving me my first full-time opportunity. Your show's not long enough for me to go through them 9 months that I had there. I did have a bit of an affinity with the people and the fans. And it was just, the ground was just so nostalgic. I kind of fell in love with it because I like the old grounds rather than the new grounds. I love going up to the northern teams, especially where you know you could pick out about eight different decades of when certain stands were built, and they just don't conform whatsoever with each other. But it's just great because then that's the personality of that club.
And it is.
You find with new grounds now, they're all likey-likey. You could be put anywhere, and it's I kind of enjoy the stuff in Rockingham Road, which unfortunately is not there anymore. It just had that massive stuff. It was just a great club to be part of. And I left because of reasons that suited family. And there was always an underlying, didn't get a job done. And thankfully, Richie and the club, they gave me the chance to get myself going again, because obviously becoming a real manager and getting sacked at Tamworth, being the first ever one, and it does lock you a bit, and it takes a while to get the wheels going and the belief and the understanding that you, 'cause I find when things are not too great, you become so blinkered, because it's a world of who to trust.
Your staff's really important then, Marcus, aren't it?
Undoubtedly. I just felt I needed to, when they give me that opportunity, I thought, why not? Build me back up, gets me going again to lift a big club like Kettering in the non-league world. Yeah. We played Rushden New Year's Day, over 2,500 there. That's just shows you that what them two clubs can bring to the table when the fans in and around it are sort of triggered and excited.
I used to love going to the old ground when I was at Hendon. It was always, you felt like you were going to a league club, you know. It was just had that whole feel about it, you know. But listen, I've got to check out and let Tim finish it. But listen, you're doing the job. Well, I'm a pundit tonight, so you've done the job in my book. And I understand that you'll be cagey about it. But when you do it, I'll be lifting a glass to you, and well done.
And I hear a rumour you might be you're on your way to Wembley if I'm being a pundit.
Well, to be fair, from where this is being recorded to where I live is on the way to Wembley, but that's about it, mate, at the minute.
No, brilliant. Yeah. No, well, good luck with that.
I appreciate that, Marcus. Thanks.
Well, Marcus, one thing as well as you're doing well on the field, I also wanted to mention, you mentioned about the club being in the doldrums, but it really is. It's alive now, isn't it? I would, obviously do various bits of research before we get you on. And it just already, I think, on Twitter today, the club's advertising coaching camps, your girls' Wildcats division, there's a beer fest, there's a curry evening with Barry Fry. You know, it's a club that's got great history in non-league, but it looks like it's got a great future as well.
I think as you get a little bit older and you become sort of, wiser, and you look around, every club right now is on a journey, and they're going to have its good days and it's going to have its bad days, and some will have more bad days than others, and it just sometimes needs certain individuals and timing of events just to go their way. And, thankfully for Kettering, Richie June, a local businessman, has brought in a gentleman called Dave Mahoney, another local businessman, and he's the chairman, which is the owner, and they're progressing the club really well. Richie's got bigger and bigger plans in terms of the product that he produces. He's got a club that he's heavily involved in China, so he has academies flying from one country to the next. And it's just having someone excited and the foresight and the want to do these sort of things, and it then rejuvenates people who get involved at different levels. And the first team, the Saturday afternoon, is the central point, and that's where I come under pressure, because the moment they're not doing what everyone is expecting them to do, that's when things are not as exciting, or the manager becomes questioned. But we wanted to do it in 3 years. Probably 3 years was too early. We had a great year last year. We scored 97 points, scored 145 goals, and come fourth, which is
unbelievable.
Which is absolute bizarre. The positive with that is the fact that we've carried on that form, that point average. I think it's like 2.2 or something like that. So the goal. So we've kept that going, and that's kept everyone else excited. And I think if the results go our way and we can have a home tie the day we can win the league, I think there'll be a fair few Kettering fans there. It'll be quite an exciting day.
Brilliant.
Well, it sounds like it'll be a very exciting day to be. And it's great to finally get you on this season, Mark, because we wish you well to wrapping up that title.
Sure do.
And moving the club forward again. But thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No, thank you. And cheers, I'll hear from you soon. And as I said, good luck in the...
Appreciate it.
Well, in your long journey.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, Phil.
Where would you put that in your CV, by the way? You're going to run out of pages. Would you write it on a toilet roll?
Listen, some of it deserves to be on a toilet roll, let me tell you. But thanks, Marcus, and good luck.
No, brilliant. Good luck. Thank cheers, you. Bye-bye. Bye.
You make lots of friends in non-league.
He's good. We've known him a long time. I've never changed my mind of him. You know, I'm delighted he's having success. It's funny, I've never sat down and had a beer with him. And well, maybe I have 20 years ago with it. And there's so many people that we speak to in this show. And funny enough, Colin McBride called me today, Hornchurch owner, and just to wish me well. And, you know, very fortunate people to, one, to do what we do here, and two, to speak to the people we do. And the other thing I get, and I said all the time with Marcus and the people we have on this show, every day's a school day. You know, I'm a dinosaur, but I go off this show every week writing something down that I can use, you know. So, but I'm genuinely delighted for him and Kettering.
Yeah.
Kettering Football Club is, I've got, I remember when Kevin Wilson managed it, obviously fellow countryman. I buy more drink than it. Well, everybody buys more drink than Kevin, but I used to enjoy going and playing against them. Proper old ground, you know, with a good crowd. So I've got fond memories, and it's like anything. There's a warm third towards him, and I'm delighted. And he's not going to say anything, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say that, you know, they'll be picking up a championship.
So time to head on over to non-league paper towers, and joining us this week, Alex Neary, editor at the non-league paper. Welcome back to the show, Alex.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Another good and a very busy week. You know, we're getting to what we thought was Brexit, and now we're almost like the tables are taking shape, aren't they? We're the National League. I think the last time we spoke, it was almost everybody and his dog had an opportunity to win the title, and it seems it's almost been handed to Leighton Orient. I've had a great week this week.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Brexit, the National League seems to be moving forward and in the right direction. Incredible 7 days really for Leighton Orient. What's been, you know, so good from their point of view is that, you know, a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure Justin Edinburgh would have been looking at this two-week period where they're playing these two-legged trophy semi-finals and thinking to themselves, you know, we might lose pace in the title run. We might, you know, the other side who are playing will gain points on us and probably overhaul us, but that hasn't happened. And they haven't been knocked off the perch. They had a fantastic day on Saturday, not only winning their second leg in the FA Trophy, but all the fellow contenders that stuttered and fell away, and they've really, really kind of ramped it up, and it was a fantastic weekend, and 8 wins on the spin for them in all competitions. They've really kind of picked it up and got that second wind after a dispiriting 3-0 defeat against Salford in early January. Looked like it might have derailed their title charge, but yeah, I think they're, what are they, 4 points clear now with a couple of games in hand, and Wrexham are 6 points behind them. They've got 2 games in hand on those guys as well. And Salford are cut adrift, although a fantastic win for them last night against Harrogate. So, it's all gathering pace and moving in the right direction for Leighton Orient.
Yes, it's still must to play for, particularly for those playoff places. It still goes down a fair way with the clubs that have still got a shout of getting in, maybe that final 7th place where it goes down to now in the playoffs. And then there's still the potential of promotion to the Football League.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of this new playoff structure. And when it was first introduced a couple of years ago, it came in for a lot of criticism. But I liked the way it was set up because it kept teams pushing right to the end because they knew that there was an advantage to where they finished in the top 7. And whereas it used to be in the top 5, I didn't always used to think that there was as much an advantage for the team that finished 3rd and for the team that finished 6th in any other division. So whereas this, obviously finishing 2nd and 3rd, you get the bye straight through to what is essentially a semi-final, and then you've got home advantage as well. So I think, you know, all those teams are going to be pushing Leighton Orient right to the wire. I'm pretty sure there'll be another twist in it all. You know, Orient have got some tricky games, including an away game at Solihull Moors. I think I watched Justin Edinburgh actually last night on BT Sport at their game at Harrogate, and he said that he thinks 91, 92 points would be enough for automatic promotion. They're well on course for that, but it only takes one slip up, and you know, the likes of Salford and Solihull Moors and Wrexham will be back in there, and don't count out AFC Fylde. So there's a lot to play for, and the playoff system where it really does benefit teams climbing up the ladder and chalking off another spot up the table will be a real push for them.
Yeah, but and like the top half of the National League is, you know, shaking itself down and sort of taking shape. So's the bottom four, though, those four relegation spots. The clubs there appear to be set adrift now.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's Aldershot opened the door ever so slightly last weekend with a hard fought victory, but they look doomed now. And you have to say the same about Havant as well. Dover have just, every time I look at Dover, they're pulling a result out of the hat, and they just look to have that kind of mentality where they know they're safe, they're playing with a bit more freedom. So I think the bottom four as it is, Havant and Waterlooville, Aldershot, Maidstone United and Braintree, I think they'll be heading into step two next season. Whereabouts they'll be playing, I'm pretty sure Braintree will be forced into the National North. But it's been a very, very tough season for all four of them. Having at Waterlooville, I always thought was struggling, and likewise Braintree. Maidstone, obviously part of company with Jay Saunders in September, they haven't really covered since then. But Aldershot were the team that I feared for, really from a kind of about November time when the goals started to dry up. And it's a really tough one to take for a team that for the last two seasons has been there or thereabouts. They're in the playoffs and looking a good bet for promotion. So they'll have to regroup and regather. Really tough times for the club. And, it's not a foregone conclusion, but I can't see them getting out of it now.
Yeah, we've mentioned how tight the National League's been pretty much all season. But you look at the goals scored and goals conceded compared to other divisions up and down the pyramid. And even Braintree, the bottom there, 74 goals conceded in 40 games, so less than two goals a game. So it, you know, they've not been sort of hammered and taken apart. It's still been close games that most of these results have been.
No, and to be fair, they've had some decent results. What is it? I think back in January they turned Barnet over 4-0. So they've had their moments, but it's just undoubtedly been a lack of quality. Again, they lost their manager, Brad Quinton, fairly early on in the season, I believe in October, fearing that they needed to make a move before it got too late. And they just haven't recovered. There's just a lack of quality there. Don't forget Braintree. I say this with the greatest respect. They actually really benefited from the playoffs last season. I think they scraped themselves up. I think they might have finished the regular season in seventh place. So they really benefited from the playoffs and the new format last year. But, you know, full credit to them for the way they did that, because if you go through the playoffs now, having to win two away games before you get to Wembley, then, you know, credit to you, you've done it, and you've done it the hard way. I always felt that they would struggle this year, and it's just been a lack of quality for them up front and the goals. But your point about the National League is absolutely right. It's I think it's the most competitive league, certainly on paper. When you look at, I think up until middle of February, the top 10 or the top 11 was separated by 9 points. It's been a very, very competitive season, more so than normal. We've always thought that by now it would be a two-horse race in most divisions. And we have just talked about Leyton Orient pulling clear, but there are still five teams vying for the championship, in my opinion. So it's great credit to the league. It's great credit to the standard of football. And, you know, long may it continue.
And standard of that football. You mentioned Leighton Orient at the top and their victory in the trophy. We should mention, we know who's going to be in the trophy final. One of the Vars members, the competitor that they're going to have to face is Dave Anderson's side potentially, or Northwich Victoria, who play their second semi-final this weekend. But it's getting exciting for the FA Vars and FA Trophy now.
Yeah, absolutely. Just sticking with the trophy, again, Justin Edinburgh has highlighted how important it is, having the trophy run, how important it is going to Wembley for his players to experience it. He's experienced Wembley as a player, obviously, in his Tottenham days, and he's experienced Wembley as a manager in his days at Newport County. So, it'll be really, really important for his players to go there and put on a really good show. I think AFC Fylde will, they will be really, really good competitors for them. They will be really strong, and I think it'll be, a fantastic final. I suppose from a neutral point of view, it's a bit of a shame that we were kind of expecting, I think from a crowd perspective, a Leighton Orient versus Stockport final would have probably broken all records, but that's not to be. Fylde are there, and they're. There will be finalists. And as for the Vars, Dave Anderson's Churchy this weekend. It's on as even against Northwich, and it's all to play for. And congratulations to Cray Valley Paper Mills. I think they were deserved victors in their game as well. So we're all looking forward to finals day on May the 19th.
Obviously, your paper will come out Sunday on March the 31st, which is the deadline for ground gradings. There doesn't seem to be as many rumours as we expected. There's all the discussions, maybe a few months back about the issues with dressing rooms, the sizes that were coming in for this season. Any word on any potential issues for any clubs that may affect maybe promotion or maybe lead to demotion?
Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, it's a bit of a shock horror here, a journalist saying this, but I haven't really heard anything, and I'm actually quite pleased.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, there was all this heartbreak and scandal of the Step 2 clubs who couldn't get promoted or couldn't get into the playoffs. I think it was Poole Town, I think. Hungerford were there as well. I'm Darlington, obviously, were one of the clubs that were affected by all these ground grading decisions. I suppose you would call them loopholes that they'd missed. All of these requirements were laid down in front of the clubs a long, long time before the news broke a couple of years ago. I spoke to Michael Tassel about that, and all the clubs know about it, but it's just staying on top of it and knowing what's required. So that was a real shame a couple of years ago. And fortunately, and I genuinely mean that, we haven't heard of anything of the same magnitude. Of course, there was the referees kind of changing room issue, which a couple of clubs have fallen foul of and held their hands up and said, yeah, we haven't done that. And but that aside, there's not been that much out there. And I think pretty much everybody's got their house in order and it's happy days. We're just hoping that there's nothing breaks late and there's heartbreak for any particular clubs. But by and large, it's no news is good news for me.
Yeah, no, I know it's easy to attack officialdom and the FA, the leagues, and that sort of thing. But there is, you've been in at the FA. I'm constantly talking to the FA, talking to the leagues, and there does seem to be more communication amongst people, in the modern era, if we can call it that.
Yeah, listen, like you say, we go and see the FA quite a bit. We're in touch with them about all of these issues, and the last thing they want to do, and I'm being deadly serious here, the last thing they want to do is to take something away from a football club, to shut the door on a dream. But the rules are in place for clubs to follow. And there were some terrible errors, administration errors, a couple of years ago, which cost several clubs the opportunity for promotion. Fortunately, that hasn't happened this time around. And you'd think that that's come around because of better communication between you know, the governing bodies and the clubs. The FA don't make these rules. The FA simply enforce these rules that the league's put in place. So, yeah, it's good to hear and good to understand that, that there aren't so many problems this time around. And, you know, we're very happy. But like I say, the guys at the FA who have to deal with these problems and these you know, the fallouts from clubs, like the fallout that they'll have to deal with from North Ferriby for next season and, you know, potentially restructuring one of the leagues or two of the leagues off the back of that, they won't enjoy moving clubs around against their will. That's not what they like doing. But unfortunately, as they had to do last year when Shore Lane pulled the plug, and that had a massive effect on the rest of the pyramid, they have to make these calls and they have to stick by them. So, look, there's some very, very good people working at the FA who care about non-league football, and they've got the best interest of all the clubs at heart.
It's like being a referee, isn't it? You know, you admire them, really, but you know, it's probably the easiest thing to criticise them, but you wouldn't want to do it yourself.
No, they're football people, but no, they really are. And you know, I'm not naming names of the guys that, on this podcast, but you know as well as I do that they're good people and they've got the club's interests at heart, and they like to grow the game and they like to grow the non-league game. So you know, they will undoubtedly fall foul of a club in the summer when they have to do something that doesn't sit well with one particular club or two clubs maybe. But by and large, you know, the FA are moving the game in the right direction.
Well, hopefully then Sunday's paper won't be full of ground grading issues. It'll be all about who's the last team in the Vars, where things are going in the various promotions and relegations. What else can we expect, Alex?
Well, yeah, of course, we're covering the Chertsey versus Northwich game, it's a big weekend with league duties pretty much back to normal now through to the end of the season. There is quite a bit in there on Leighton Orient's fantastic week. So, Orient fans, if you're listening, it's definitely worth picking up a copy. And we are looking ahead, which I'm sure you will talk about next week on your show, the big clash in National South, which is next Saturday, Woking versus Torquay. That's been a two-horse race all season, and they've been neck and neck, but it shows again how quickly things change. Woking have just had a little wobble of late, and Torquay have kept up the momentum. And by the time that game comes around, if all goes well for Torquay and it doesn't go well for Woking, then we could almost be talking about a title decider for Woking next Saturday at Woking. But I think there'll be more to it than that. But I think it'll be a fantastic game. And those two clubs, led by Alan Dowson, you know, and Johnson, they've done a fantastic service to the National League South this year, taking big crowds everywhere, put on some great shows and entertaining football. It's been a fantastic two-horse race, and you know, we're looking forward to next Saturday. So we've got a big piece with those guys in Sunday's issue, where they're talking about the game and talking about the season ahead, and a lot of mutual respect for each other as well. So. Yeah, there's lots of there for Woking and Torquay fans too. Lots to look forward to.
Well, look forward to reading all about it on Sunday. Well, thank you for your time as well, Alex.
No, you're welcome, Tim. Cheers.
So once again, time has beaten us. Well, time's gone past, and we've beaten ourselves, I think. thank you and good luck to Dave Anderson this weekend again. And then we can start talking about the league and your Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday yeah. games and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be signing you, Tim. You get a game.
I think the knees are gone. Yeah. A big thank you to all of our guests tonight, and a big thank you to everyone that listens. You can follow us throughout the season and share the show and join in the debate throughout the week on social media. The show at Non League Show, Dave Anderson, news at Dave Anderson 78, and myself at Tim Fuel. And of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Deezer, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, smart speakers. I've been testing this out again this week. hey Google, play the Non-League Football Show. So now in loads of houses up and down the land, Google's now playing the Non-League Football Show. Or Alexa, play the Non-League Football Show. And of course, you can also listen to us via all good podcast aggregation sites.
That's magnificent. The one thing, and I know you're trying to round up, we've got an Alexa, and I kept saying to my missus, it doesn't get my accent, you know. I was calling it Alicia.
Alicia, well, that's what, did you? That was your story to the missus, wasn't it?
No, it was. That's why it wasn't working. So I'm going to try Alexa, but see you next week, I suppose.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber Production, JIBBA, JABBA.